It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Greetings, Mark.
Good to see you once again. And I hear you're working on a book on the purpose and process of marriage, and we're going to kind of get into that a little bit today.
Yeah, purpose and process of biblical marriage.
There
I make a real point of, and that is significant in our topic today, too. Yeah, that book, I'm hoping that it's going to be available September.
Okay.
We're talking to the publishers now.
Well, one of the subjects you talk about is this whole idea of submission, leadership in submission in biblical marriage. Submission, kind of a dirty word, it seems like, a lot of times in modern culture. They think that Christianity is just guys lording it over women, but that's not really what it's about.
Yeah, and I let me make the point that this whole principle of leadership and submission only applies to biblical marriage. Mm-hmm. It isn't, the scripture says, I was just reading some of these scriptures this morning, and both Peter and Paul say, wives, be in submission to your own husband, to your own husband. And that's an important distinction, because it isn't, the Bible is not saying that men should control women. This has to do with biblical marriage only. Mm. And outside of biblical marriage, it's the guys against the gals, and they're just fighting it out. And the result of that is, of course, the pendulum swing, and we have women's liberation movement and, you know, the battle of the sexes. Mm. Submission, a biblical principle of leadership and submission only applies to biblical marriage. And we've talked before on the show, what is a biblical marriage? Well, a biblical marriage is a marriage where the husband is linked tightly with God. He has a strong devotional life, and he's hearing from God. And that's the beginning of a biblical marriage. And then the husband and the wife are becoming one flesh. The husband leads by following. He leads the wife by following God. Mm. Look at a couple of scriptures that Jesus actually was talking in John, the fifth chapter, and brings out how, you know, he says in chapter 5, or verse 5 of chapter 15, he says, I'm the vine, and you're the branches. And if the branches don't abide on the vine, they can't bear fruit, basically. Mm-hmm. We might wonder, well, where does the vine get the food? If he's the vine and we're the branches, where is he getting his food? And then he explains in verse 19 that he said, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father do. Mm. So that's how Christ is our leader. That's how he's loving the church, by following the Father. And so this idea of leadership and submission. But we also might ask ourselves, well, but why? Why, you know, so we see this seemingly chain of command where it's, you know, the scripture talks about, Paul talks in Ephesians chapter 5 about, Christ being the head of the man and the man being the head of the woman. And so we see this, what seems to be a chain of command where we might say, well, the husband has direct access to Christ, and then the wife has access to Christ through the husband. That's what it can appear that way, and we might ask why wouldn't the husband and wife have access to Christ, and just so it's more of a democracy, you know, the husband and wife hear from the Lord, and then they duke it out, or they vote on it, or, you know, and then it would just come down to the strongest personality prevails.
But what I notice a lot, in a lot of times, though, it's kind of, and so you're saying then a lot of these marriages aren't biblical, because I find a lot of times it's the woman who's the more spiritual one in the marriage, not the man.
Well, there's a strong point there, because women, by their very nature, by the constitution of their brain matter, more white brain matter, more active limbic system, or frontal lobe system, there are many things that point to the fact that the woman is the more compassionate, the more spiritual, And so I think we've talked about that in other shows. At least it's there's a big portion on that in the book that I've been working on. But
so are you discouraging that then, or you're just acknowledging even though
I'm
women,
acknowledging it?
Because
yeah,
even
I'm
though
acknowledging it,
because women, like I say, seem to be I would say spiritual leader. I mean, they seem to be the ones that seem to put more importance on spiritual matters a lot of times than the husbands do, in even Christian marriages,
which raises the question for a lot of people, in a lot of marriages, and I've talked to a lot of wives who are frustrated and wanting to have a biblical marriage or a spiritual marriage, but they're married to a man who's not spiritually inclined, and so it kind of raises the question of, well, why is the husband the leader? But I think we have to understand that this is all in the context of, I would not call that a biblical marriage. And so Peter does say, wives, be in submission to your own husbands. And then he kind of leads into, what is that? It's in the chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3, where he leads into, so that the husband might be won by the chaste behavior of his wife, a husband that's a non-believer. That idea of your own husband, what's that talking about? It's talking about the ikad that we've mentioned on the show a number of times, where the Shema. Let me back up. Created in the image and likeness of God, and then the Shema. Well, what is the image of God? Well, the Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord, our Lord, is one, and that word one is the ikad, which means a unit of plurality or a unity of plurality. So that's the nature of the Godhead. The Godhead, there is a chain of command, but it's not one of God the Father doesn't necessarily lord it over the Son or the Holy Spirit. They're one. It's not a chain of command. They're one, although it can appear to be a chain of command, where Jesus says in John chapter 15, again, the Son can't do anything of his own, but only what he sees the Father do. But it's not such that the Father is lording it over the Son, but it's the relationship of the Son to the Father. And how that the Son, again, the vine and the branches are the perfect illustration. It's not that the seed necessarily dictates to the tree, but in a way it does. I mean, the tree grows; the nature of the tree follows the nature of the seed. So the tree follows the nature of the seed. The branches follow the nature of the tree, and the fruit follows the nature. And these are all tied in with the nature of the seed. So God, it is the nature of God. But I think the thing that we have to get back to is that we can ask the first question: why is it that order? And you say, well, that's the nature of the Godhead. It's just simply the nature of the Godhead. And then the second question is, why do we have a problem with that? Well, because it's not our nature. And so the whole issue of submission and leadership, the angst we have about that, or the, you know, where kind of the rub comes in, is that that's not our way. That's not the human way. But it's God's way. It's the nature of the Godhead. And so that's why I say that it only applies to biblical marriage, where the husband is following. And it's not so much a matter, I don't think, of, as you point out, it's not so much a matter of the husband getting secret information from God and then passing it on. The wife is quite often the more spiritually inclined. So this doesn't have to do with a chain of authority or a chain of command. It has to do with following the nature of God, because it has more to do, I think, with unity, harmony. Whereas if, say, for example, in the Godhead, and this is almost ludicrous to try to explain the Godhead in these terms, in human terms, but if we could think of the Father speaking separately to each part of the Godhead, if it was divided, and as opposed to being a unity of plurality, you could imagine a situation where The Holy Spirit is going off doing one thing that has little or nothing to do with the Son. And the Son doing doing his own work, not really following the commandments of the Lord, because it's kind of a democracy. But it's not a democracy, it's a unit of plurality. That's a little bit hard for us to understand, but I think the point being that this is not husband dictating to the wife and the wife following the husband in what he deems to be, what he has pleasure in, or what he prefers. So the whole thing, I think, of leadership and submission starts with the leadership and that idea of how does Christ... He said, I am the vine and you are the branches, referring to the church. The church, that's the branches. Mm-hmm. And that the branches can't do anything of their, the branch can't bear a fruit that isn't in the nature of the tree.
Right.
And so again, this is not about passing on, it's not about a chain of command of authority, but it's again, the nature of the Godhead. Not our nature, but God's nature. And so the husband really has to be, Christ leads by following, and the husband leads by following. I was thinking, what happens when there's a disagreement? And what I found in my marriage and my life is that when there's a disagreement between my wife and I, and there often are disagreements.
Sure.
But when there are disagreements, particularly, I'm talking about disagreements in significant decisions. Mm. What you want for dinner, that's something, you kind of leave that up to the cook.
Right.
But disagreements are things, and I might have a strong opinion, but if my wife and I disagree over something, it tends to push me back to the Lord to get clarification. Mm. Am I hearing this correctly? And then what that tends to do is bring a sense of humility, because I'm not on my own just getting instruction from God and then passing them on. We're working as a team, but it is my responsibility to lead by following. And so what this does, in effect, is it forces me to be in a closer relationship with the Lord, because my wife will question on a lot of things. And if I don't know that this is, if I don't have a real conviction about this being something from the Lord, it tends to push me back to prayer and further clarification. Mm-hmm. When we come back, I'm going to continue that line for a moment. I want to look at James chapter 3 for a second.
Okay. All right. Taking a quick break here, talking about leadership and submission in biblical marriage this week with Daniel Pryor. He's a life coach and counselor. If you need help in your marriage or anything else, how do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
The phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. 6169. There are a lot of these podcasts at the website BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you'll find you can listen to these shows again or pass them on. All my counseling is virtual. And again, the phone number is 425-778-6169.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind Show with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Sound Mind this week, we're looking at Daniel's new book, kind of. I mean, we're getting a glimpse of what it's going to be. One of the subjects is leadership and submission in biblical marriage. And your new book coming out, we're hoping, in September. And the title of that book is going to be? What's the title of that?
The Purpose and Process of Biblical Marriage.
Okay. And that's something you've talked about quite a bit on these shows through the years. Again, BibleBasedCounselor.com for past shows. Also, you have a website that has a lot of your writing on it. And what is that one?
Yeah, that's ChristianCounselorsForum.com.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've got the BibleBasedCounselor.com, ChristianCounselorsForum.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's continue then on this subject this week.
Yeah. And as we're talking about this, it's obviously a very complex subject. Because of our nature, because of our human nature, and the fact that we do have, we are competitive. We've talked a lot about shame on the show, which is central in the whole life of human, the whole experience of human. Genesis chapter 2, the end of the chapter says that that Adam and Eve, the two were naked and they were not ashamed. And of course, that's what changed when they sinned. They immediately experienced shame. And that's at the core. Shame is at the core of human, bad human behavior. And so this whole idea of leadership and submission gets right to that, because what is the problem that we have with leadership and submission? Why does leadership become overbearing? Because of shame. Why does submission become overbearing?
Yeah.
An issue because of shame. And so this idea of God's way, God's nature, the unity of plurality, cuts right across our fallen nature. And so that's what's so important about the husband and wife becoming one flesh and becoming the ichad, the unit of plurality, unity of plurality. And so it's not just like God thought this up. You know, it wasn't like God creating the husband and wife and then saying, oh my gosh, let's put the husband in charge of the wife. It wasn't like that. It was this whole idea of his image and likeness was an unfolding of his nature. It couldn't have been different. It is the way it is. Mm. And again, only biblical marriage. People who are not following God have no part in this.
Right.
The principle of biblical leadership and submission in the marriage has only to do with a couple that are following God. And when we're following God, it makes perfect sense. It brings us to unity versus division. Harmony, the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, I was going to look at James really quickly here. I think it's James chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disordered and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. That's the kind of leadership that you should experience from a godly husband. Peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And that's what I was saying earlier, where when my wife and I have a disagreement, or husband and wife have a disagreement, the husband should just instinctively almost go right back to God and say, did I hear that right? Because we're having, my wife doesn't agree and I need clarity. So what we have here is a picture of beginning with leadership. We have a husband whose priority in life is being sure that he's following the Lord. Jesus saying in I say to you, the son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. What he sees the Father doing, that's what he does himself. And this should be the husband's relationship with Christ. He sees what Christ is doing. And that's a biblical marriage. If the husband is only praying at mealtime or on Sundays, he's not seeing what Christ is doing. Mm. And if he's not seeing what Christ is doing, he doesn't have a biblical marriage. And so this is something that begins with leadership and then submission. Again, why submission? It's not submission in that the husband is never commanded in Scripture to lord it over his wife. Paul says that the husband should, or the wife, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. Now, it's not saying submit to your husband as though he's the Lord. It's saying submit to the husband in the way that you submit to the Lord. And how can we submit to the Lord? Well, we submit to the Lord because the Lord is is God, because he's the word, because he's the truth. And so we trust him. And so the wife is to trust the husband. But that doesn't mean that she just keeps her mouth shut and follows orders. The wife is to encourage, to inquire, to advise, and to follow. And if the husband is walking with the Lord, the wife won't find that hard to do.
Right.
To encourage him, to inquire. Are you sure this is the Lord you're hearing from the Lord? I mean, they can discuss this. She can advise. You know, I've been speaking to the Lord too, and this is what I'm impressed with. So she advises, and then she follows. But there should be unity. What the necessity for this unity too? I'm talking about and moving on here. What is necessary if this kind of idealistic unity that I seem to be describing here? We've talked about the triad for trust, forgiveness, and communion. The marriage should be pursuing building those things: trust, forgiveness, communion. And I think it's a fundamental necessity in that unity through prayer.
Yeah.
Husband and wife should, in a biblical marriage, husband and wife are praying together. Mm. You know, if husband and wife are praying together, and I say also praying for one another,
yes,
and with one another, if they're doing that, it's going to eliminate virtually all of the, James said earlier in verse 16 in chapter 3, he said, where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Mm. So you can see the kind of thing that if the husband and wife are not walking in harmony, and the husband in relationship with, seeking God, and then the two of them walking in harmony through things like prayer, growing trust, forgiving, communion. If they're not doing that, this is when you find disorder and selfishness and jealousy. And so this whole idea of submission and leadership drives the husband, when he's saddled with this responsibility, it drives him to the presence of God for wisdom. And then the wife follows. And so it's not a matter of, it gets right to our self-centeredness, wanting to go our own way, not only for the wife, but for the husband too, because it's easy for the husband to think of leadership as getting his way, having the last word, the swing vote in all things. Mm. That's not a biblical marriage. A biblical marriage is the marriage where the husband is walking with the Lord and the wife is following. She's walking with the Lord too. Well, then if she's walking with the Lord, he's walking with the Lord, why this whole thing of leadership and submission? It has to do with the ikad. It has to do with the becoming one flesh. And it has to do with the fact that this is the nature of the Godhead. Do we fully understand it? No, we don't fully understand the nature of the Godhead. But God is not saying this principle of leadership and submission is not just an idea that God's imposing on husbands and wives so that it works out more orderly, in a more orderly fashion. You say, well, it does work out in a more orderly fashion, but that's because God is the God of order. And he's the God of order because that's the way the Godhead works. And so, yeah, it just always brings us back to that principle of these instructions that we get here are, we're instructed to do things this way because that's how God works. That's his nature. He's trying to give us his nature. He's trying to teach us about himself, to experience, to understand the Godhead. Got to understand the Godhead. I don't know if I can say it any clearer than that.
Yeah, I think for a lot of people listening to this today, though, they would think, well, that's in a perfect world, that's the way it would work. But we're imperfect people. And like, again, I said earlier in the show, so often the woman has taken the spiritual leadership in the marriage. What should a woman listening to this today do? If their husband is not following the Lord and she's having difficulty submitting to him the way you say, what should she do? Pray for him?
I think it's for her. It is in a similar way. It's similar for the husband. A husband that, because I've talked to a lot of husbands who say, my wife won't submit to me. Mm. Well, what do you do if you have a wife that won't submit to you? Well, you can't just beat her and make her submit. That isn't biblical. That isn't a biblical marriage. This drives us closer to the Lord. And I think it's the same with the wife. And Peter even brings that out in his, so.
Yeah. Love your wife as I love the church. Yeah.
But I think what you're getting at is that there is that the wife submitting to the Lord and being obedient to her husband or in submission to her husband up to that point, you know, where we always talk about avoiding sin. We'll probably have to touch on this in another show.
Yeah. We've opened a real can of worms here, but it's a good subject. It's right where the rubber meets the road. Leadership and submission in a biblical marriage. We'll continue the discussion next time. People, though, they know they need help with their marriage. How do they get in touch with you, Daniel?
The phone number 425-778-6169. 425-778-6169. People also contact me through the website BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you'll find many podcast shows too.
Okay, always great stuff. Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.